Trading Club Pro Trade Alert and Update, week of September 7, 2026. Welcome to this audio issue of Trading Club, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. The value of the Trading Club Pro Tracking Portfolio settled at $106,956 as of Thursday, September 10, up 7% since the June 22, 2026 inception date. See the detailed portfolio snapshot below. Based on Friday's trade alert, we made the following transactions in our Trading Club tracking account on Tuesday. Sold to open 1 Booz Allen Hamilton, NYSE, BAH, $80 call, expiring October 16, 2026. At $1 per share, sold to open 1 Hims & Hers Health, NYSE, Hims, $33 call, expiring October 16, 2026, at $1.04 per share, sold to open 1 Figma, NYSE, FIV, $25 call, expiring October 16, 2026, at $1.52 per share, sold to open 1 Novo Nordisk, NYSE, NVO, $47.50 call, expiring October 16, 2026, at $1.54 per share, sold to open 2 Triple Flag Precious Metals, NYSE, TFPM, $35 calls, expiring October 16, 2026, at $1.65 per share, sold to open 1 Turning Point Brands, NYSE, TPB, $85 call, expiring October 16, 2026, at $1.35 per share. In addition, the 2 British American Tobacco, NYSE, BTI, $60 puts, expiring September 18, 2026, were exercised early on Thursday, September 10. This resulted in the purchase of 200 shares of stock at a cost basis of $56.39, net of the options premium received. In this update, we analyze the recent rise both in bond yields and energy prices that have introduced added risks in today's market, underpinning our latest hedging trade. We also address the backlog of subscriber questions from the Trading Club forum. We have since resolved a technical issue in the forum, which will enable us to respond to future posts in a more timely manner. As a reminder, you can access the Trading Club forum by clicking here. Alternatively, you can also send questions or feedback to our mailbag email account at mailbag@porterandcompanyresearch.com. Energy and interest rate shock amplifies risks. Last week, we wrote about the growing risks from the debt-fueled artificial intelligence, AI, CapEx boom. Those risks just became a lot more acute, with interest rates breaking out to new highs this week, including a 20 basis point jump in 10-year Treasury yields to 4.96% at the close of trading on Thursday. That's within spitting distance of the key 5% level that was briefly reached in late 2023, before yields retreated and paved the way for the subsequent rally in asset prices. This time, however, there's reason to believe yields could post a decisive break above 5% toward a multi-decade high. First, there's the issuance tsunami. The U.S. government is rolling over a record $10 trillion in treasuries over the next 12 months, just as the borrowing demand from corporate America ramps up to unprecedented levels to fund an estimated $1.3 trillion in AI capex. And now, we can add a global energy crisis into the mix. U.S. crude oil prices broke above $100 per barrel on Thursday, up 25% in the past month, as the Iran war heats back up. The next few months provide the Iranians with a narrow window to enact maximum political pain on the Trump administration ahead of the November midterm elections. Higher prices at the pump are a death knell for incumbent politicians, and we can see a clear correlation between rising oil prices and the increasing likelihood of a Democratic sweep of the House and Senate. The odds of a Democratic sweep reached a high of 50% in April, at the peak of energy prices. Then, after retreating during the lull in energy prices this summer, the odds have once again returned to a coin flip with rebounding energy prices. It appears the Iranians are intent on wreaking maximum havoc in the Persian Gulf in the hopes of driving energy prices higher and crushing Republican prospects in the midterms. This would effectively turn Donald Trump into a lame duck president for the remaining 2 years of his term. The pace and scope of Iranian hostilities have escalated in recent weeks, including a series of missile launches at U.S. Navy ships. This has led to shipping traffic through the Strait of Hormuz dropping to just 10 vessels per day, the lowest level since May. The Iranians have also deployed their proxy militant group, known as the Houthis, into a second front of the war, in Yemen. The Houthis have taken territory in key areas of the country from which they can easily launch missile and drone attacks into the Bab al-Mandab Strait. The strait has served as the bypass valve for rerouting shipping traffic away from the disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz. The Houthis also managed to successfully strike energy infrastructure in Saudi Arabia via drone and missile attacks launched from their strongholds in Yemen. It all adds up to the growing prospect of a significant energy shock in the coming months, and it comes at a particularly vulnerable time, when the world has largely exhausted its strategic stockpiles. Consider the case of the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, SPR, which has dropped to the lowest levels since the early 1980s at just 285 million barrels. There's a working limit on SPR capacity that most analysts estimate is somewhere between 250 million and 300 million barrels. If inventories fall below this working capacity threshold, it risks causing structural reservoir damage to the underground salt storage caverns. And as we've approached this operational limit in recent weeks, the pace of SPR withdrawals has dropped off significantly, down from an average of 4 million to 5 million barrels per week to just over 1 million barrels in the latest weekly data. With a diminishing ability to offset an oil supply disruption through the release of strategic stockpiles, the world faces the prospect of a crippling energy crunch should traffic through the Strait of Hormuz remain disrupted. But the far bigger problem lies in refined products, like diesel. As Porter covered in excellent detail in Wednesday's Daily Journal, diesel is the key transport fuel that moves the world, which filters into virtually every good or service in the economy. Unlike the crude oil supply crunch, which can theoretically be resolved with a political agreement that ends hostilities overnight, solving the shortage in refined products will take months of repair work to restore capacity to normal levels, and those are months the market doesn't have, with the acute shortage already sending prices of refined products into sky-high territory. U.S. diesel futures reached a new high of $212 per barrel on Thursday, firmly in energy shock territory. The last two times diesel traded anywhere near these levels, in 2022 and 2008, it coincided with a bear market in stock prices. The correlation is not coincidental. Higher energy prices act like a direct and immediate tax on consumption that sucks purchasing power out of the economy. The only other more consequential price in the economy is the cost of capital or interest rates. And right now, the energy crunch is contributing to the runaway rally in bond yields, not just in the U.S., but globally. This brings us back to the core question we raised in last week's update. What causes a debt-fueled CapEx mania to end? The answer: when the capital runs out. And with interest rates rising toward multi-decade highs across the globe, the market is sending a clear message: capital is becoming increasingly scarce. Should these trends continue, we believe it will ultimately lead to a turning point in the current economic expansion and bull market. As a result, we're shifting toward a more defensive trading approach. In addition to making more use of covered calls on our core holdings, we will become more aggressive in purchasing downside hedges, including today's latest put option trade recommendation. We will have additional trades coming out following next week's option expiration on Friday, September 18th. Normally, we would release a full set of quarterly trades that expire in 90 days, along with a video walking through each trade. This time, however, we will instead release a limited number of trades that expire in mid-October as an interim series between our next quarterly event that includes a video recording. This is due to a scheduling conflict with our upcoming fall conference, as we explain in greater detail below. Addressing recent subscriber questions. Next, we address the backlog of subscriber questions accumulated in the Trading Club forum over the past several weeks. First up are two questions regarding our trading schedule, including: can you go back to advising in advance when you will be making new recommendations? This helps me as I live outside the USA and prevents me having to wonder when these announcements will come. I accept there will be urgent unscheduled times. Secondly, are you going to go back to the sessions where you discuss the recommendations and show us the prices you got? These were super interesting and helpful sessions. And from another Trading Club member, we have this question: I have been a subscriber on this service for a while. When I asked customer service about when to start with Trading Club recommendations, they told me that this program has a specific starting week for a new term and it will be announced soon, so wait till the announcement comes. If this is true, when will the new term start? Ross comment: yes, we still plan on following the same general schedule of releasing a full series of options trades that expire in roughly 90 days each quarter, along with a video recording walking through each trade. Normally, we release each quarterly trade series shortly after the expiration of the prior trade recommendations. However, we are slightly modifying this schedule for the upcoming options that expire on September 18th, given that the Porter & Company annual conference is scheduled for September 23rd and 24th. We have decided to push out the timeline for our next quarterly trade series and video recording into late October, and we will send an alert out when the official date is locked in. In the meantime, we will publish an interim trade series for options that expire on October 16th. This way, we can continue harvesting options premiums in between the upcoming September 18th option expiration date and the next quarterly recommendation scheduled for late October. Following the upcoming option expiration date on September 18th, You can expect these new trades in your inbox on Monday, September 21st. Next up, we have a question regarding our position in shares of defense contractor Booz Allen Hamilton, NYSE, BAH. Last week's update said this regarding Booz Allen Hamilton, BAH: with the worst of the revenue declines likely in the rearview, we see minimal downside risk and outsized return potential from here. BA is down in the model portfolio. Is there a game plan other than wait for it to recover? You used call options for BTI. Could a similar strategy be used for BAH? Relatedly, and speaking generally, how do you assess when long-term call options are worth buying? Ross comment: the key thing to remember about buying call options is that the odds are generally not in your favor, as the majority of options expire worthless over time. So in order to justify buying calls, we need a compelling catalyst for a significant and imminent move higher in shares. Generally speaking, a stock being undervalued does not meet that threshold. In the case of British American Tobacco, NYSE, BTI, the stock was not only cheap, but we believed it was on the verge of an inflection in earnings momentum due to the underappreciated success of its smoke-free portfolio of products. So far, this thesis has generally played out as expected, although not quite to the degree we expected, at least so far. Booz Allen lacks a similar imminent catalyst. So instead of buying calls, we have instead chosen to sell calls and harvest the options premiums, based on the idea that the downside risk is limited, while the upside potential may take time to play out. Next up is a question on the potential opportunities in the agricultural sector. I'm wondering if you will consider taking another position in the food or fertilizer-related companies. I think we got hit a little last time. Your thesis wasn't at fault, but timing didn't quite work out. The problems caused by the ongoing Middle East conflict haven't gone away. In truth, they have compounded the global position of vulnerability for key food production, and this will create future opportunities, I'm sure. Ross comment: yes, the timing on our prior trades in this sector didn't work out, as we took a modest loss when the trade initially failed to play out as expected. But with the ongoing disruptions in shipping through the Strait of Hormuz, it now appears that the original thesis of a significant supply shock in fertilizer and agricultural prices is back on the table. However, with prices having rallied significantly, this makes the risk/reward setup challenging in terms of placing a speculative trade on further gains in agricultural prices. Meanwhile, investing in commodities producers is also a tough way to make money. In my experience, outside of the rare opportunities in exceptionally well-managed commodities producers, royalty companies are the only reliable vehicles for earning above-market returns. While I don't know of any compelling royalty plays on agricultural products, I am currently in the process of researching an adjacent opportunity. It's based on the idea that, regardless of where agricultural prices trade from here, one trend we can count on is that this crisis will create massive new demand for hedging the risk of future fertilizer supply. This is currently a major gap in the futures market, which lacks a liquid trading vehicle for managing fertilizer supply risk. But there's one particular company that's currently laying the groundwork for a new class of fertilizer futures, and it happens to be small enough that this new product could have a meaningful impact on its growth trajectory. As mentioned, I'm currently in the process of working through this thesis, but stay tuned as we may be taking a new position in this company in the trading club in the near future. Next, we'll show each position in the portfolio broken down by trade type. Portfolio review. The table below shows all current holdings as of the close of trading on Thursday, September 10th. Please note that we have recently modified some of our recommended prices. A few notes on how to read and interpret this portfolio table. Please pay special attention to the action column, where we specify whether each trade is a buy or sell to open transaction. Next, the position size for each trade is equal to the current value of the position, with the exception of the cash secured puts. In the case of the cash secured puts, we define the position size as the total value of our future commitment to purchase 100 shares for each contract. This number is calculated as follows. Position size equals number of contracts x 100 x put strike price. We use this number because it accurately reflects our total capital commitment, and thus our total risk exposure on the trade. For example, in the case of the Waterbridge Infrastructure, NYSE, WBI, $30 puts, the position size equals 2 by 100 x $30 equals $6,000. We use this number because it accurately reflects our total capital commitment, and thus our total risk exposure on the trade. It's commonly referred to as the notional value of the trade. To see the current profit/loss across each open position and other details, please see the live snapshot of our tracking portfolio at the end of this update. We have compiled a summary overview of the latest quarterly trades released on June 22nd, which you can find here. Since then, we have recommended the additional trades listed below. On July 17th, we recommended purchasing shares of Novo Nordisk, NYSE, NVO, which you can find here. On July 21st, We recommended purchasing shares of Hims & Hers Health, NYSE, Hims, and we provided the analysis for the company on July 24, which you can find here. As a reminder, we calculate the leverage ratio using the following formula. Leverage ratio equals total long exposure slash portfolio equity value. We define total long exposure as the sum of all long positions, including uncovered stocks, covered stocks, cash secured puts, and option purchases. In the current portfolio, as of Wednesday's close, these values were as follows. Note, we show each value in our portfolio table below. Uncovered stocks, $52,589. Covered stocks, $48,973. Netting out the underlying stock value against the covered call value. Put sales, $29,500. This notional value is the value of stock we've committed to purchasing. Long options, positions, $418. Adding up all of these values gives us $131,480 of total long exposure in our current tracking portfolio. We then divide this number into our account equity of $106,960 to arrive at a 123% leverage ratio, well within our self-prescribed limit of 150%. If you have any questions or feedback, the Trading Club Forum is the best chance to get a quick response from our team. Alternatively, you can always email us at mailbag@porterandcompanyresearch.com. Good investing. Ross Hendricks, Porter & Company. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter & Company. We hoped you enjoyed this audio issue. In addition to this issue, you should check out our top 3 best buys where we highlight 3 current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point today. You can find the top 3 best buys under the Best Buys link on our site at porterandcompanyresearch.com.